recalls the events of that first Easter morning. You can turn there if you'd like. I'll be looking at passage of Scripture here at the end of the book of Matthew. I will list the verses on the screen today, but it's good to open up your copy of God's Word. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 1 of this final chapter of Matthew's gospel, he writes, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" These women were early risers. While it was still dawn, Mark and Luke used these exact words, "very early in the morning." Now, it's no secret, I'm not a morning person. In fact, how many of you would say, you're like me, you are not a morning person? I just want to commend you for coming to church this morning, getting up. Heidi knows, you just don't even talk to him, just kind of let him get through his routine, kind of wake up, then maybe. I'm not a morning person. I don't know if this group of ladies, if they were morning people or not. But when there's something within you that you're anticipating, then there is an awakening that happens within you. We know this growing up, at least I do. I could not wake up every day of the week, except Saturdays. It was just amazing. On Saturdays, I was one of the first ones out of bed in order to catch some of my favorite cartoons. For me, Super Friends and Scooby-Doo. Why is that? Why is it that all of a sudden, on this one day of the week, I could wake up without difficulty? I could wake up with an alertness and, you know, an excitement. It's because when we anticipate something, there is an awakening that happens within us. And so it is with these women. They were anticipating going to the tomb. They had waited, actually, quite some time. Jesus, who had been on the cross, they had taken his body down. They quickly got permission with Joseph of Arimathea to place him in this tomb. The women had come to the tomb. They knew exactly where he would be. And they prepared all the spices in order to care for a decaying body. And then they had to wait. It was a Sabbath laws. They followed them. Although they likely wanted to go earlier, they obeyed the law, and they waited. And they anticipated that when the sun would rise, that they too could hurry off to the tomb. And there, then, they could take care of the body of Jesus, their friend. This morning, perhaps, there is a longing in your heart to be awakened. Whether or not you're a morning person or not, that's not really the issue. What I'm talking about is that that there's something perhaps in you that, that you are going, I want to be awakened. Sometimes it might be that we just are anticipating the wrong things. But when we awake with an anticipation that God is going to meet with us, or that on this day, or whatever day of the week, not just Easter morning, but an anticipation that we would see Jesus, then there would be an awakening that we have been longing for. Well, again, whether or not they were mourning people, these women were eagerly awaiting the morning dawn that first Easter morning. They were anticipating going to the tomb to cover Jesus' body with spices, but Jesus had a different plan in mind. As the women made their way to the tomb where Jesus' body was, they noticed that the large stone that had covered the tomb was rolled away. Matthew 28 continues, and this is the recording of the morning events. So the women hurried. They had met with Jesus. They saw Jesus. They saw that the body, the tomb had rolled away. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, Jesus said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see him. These women didn't anticipate seeing Jesus alive. You and I have expectations about the way that our day will go. And when God breaks into our day, as he does for these women, the turn of events changed the trajectory of where they were heading, not just on that day, but every day thereafter. So the women go and they find the disciples. They knew where they were hiding. And the women go and they knock on the door behind which the disciples were hiding. I'm guessing the guys were startled a bit. They were wondering, perhaps guards had come and found where they were staying. When the knock came, they paused. They were waiting for perhaps a signal, a familiar voice on the other side, and familiar voice they found. It was these women who had been quite excited. And as the doors opened and the women barged in, this is what they said. They said, he's alive! Nah, April Fools. Just kidding. Well, you know, that's not really what they said. They didn't say April Fools. That's not how it played out. We know that Jesus was alive. But certainly, that moment, as we find in scriptures, would be one of those moments on April Fool's Day, which today is. It would be one of those moments where you're going, what you just told me just seems too impossible. This must be an April Fool's joke. April Fool's wasn't established at that time, but they could have thought that. This is a joke. Okay, girls, enough with, saying that he's alive. We saw him dead and buried. They didn't say April Fools because it wasn't a joke. Jesus, who was crucified to death just days before, was now resurrected. Easter and April Fool's Day. It's been 62 years since this has happened. Since 1956, no other Easter has landed on this April 1st. April Fool's Day basically is a day of jokes, lying to someone. I suppose it's this day that, because I liked April Fool's growing up. I would tell my mom things and go, no, April Fool's. It's almost like this permission to lie, which wasn't right. But April Fool's, It's a day of tricking people. It's a day of lying to someone. If the resurrection of Jesus is Easter, then where is April Fool's in our story? Well, it comes at the reaction of the religious leaders and the soldiers. They were packed with fools. Here's their story. It's what Matthew records next in verses 11 through 15. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.'" Yeah, that's what you're supposed to say. "If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." Which sounded good to the soldiers, so they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. It's April Fool's. The fools in the story are those who have seen the truth, have heard the truth, and yet deny it. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, which group are we in? Clearly, there were those on that first Easter morning who believed in the resurrection, and there were some who resigned to reject it. That group just couldn't accept what they had been told, that Jesus actually proved who he was. Jesus is God himself. To them, it just seemed foolish. To that group of people, their rejection of the truth is described as foolishness. Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1 says it this way: "The fool says in their heart, 'There is no God.'" The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." This group, these religious leaders and these guards who had seen the truth, who knew exactly what really happened, they resigned to say, "I need to save my own neck." So which group are you in? A belief that Jesus is alive, that he is who he said he was, or the other group? The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 chapter, verses 18 and 25, these words: "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength." There might appear to be some sense of foolishness to this day, to the resurrection of Jesus, that someone could actually come back to life. What seems foolishness actually is true. No April Fools. You need to know that Jesus raised from the dead so that you might believe who he is. He wants you to know that he deeply loves you and he forgives you. Today you need to know that, and that is no joke. The resurrection of Jesus is no joke. Neither is his love for you. His ability to bring eternal peace and joy into your life is no joke. It's no joke that when we confess our sins to him, that he will forgive us and he will cleanse us of our sins. It's no joke. It's no joke that Jesus alone can dramatically improve your life, change it today, forever. Our marriages, work environments, the way that we respond to grief and sorrow and disappointment, the person of Jesus Christ can change how we view those things. It's no joke. It's no joke that Jesus is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It's no joke. It's no joke that his Spirit empowers people to live lives honoring to him rather than selfish lives. It's possible. It's no joke. It's no joke that you are here today by accident. No, it's no joke. You are here today on purpose. It was Jesus' plan for you to hear about who he is and for you to know that he wants a relationship with you. It's no joke. He wanted you here today. To help us understand the full story of the good news of Jesus, I'd like for you to watch this vivid video that describes the good news of Jesus Christ. Christ has risen. You know, when we say those words, he is risen indeed, it is the exclamation mark to what we believe. Another piece that has surprised me about the group of fools in our text today is that the religious leaders had been surrounded by spirituality for such a long time. You would think that the people who would reject Jesus are those who were so distant and so far from him. But here's the group of people who were considered religious who just couldn't quite make that step. Perhaps today you are among them who have been around spiritual things and around spiritual people and having had spiritual events, and yet it just seems like it's around you and not in you. I talk with people from time to time about, although they had gone to vacation Bible school growing up as a kid, and their grandma would pray for them every night before they would go to bed, and maybe they went to camp, or they've been coming to church for, a very long time, that they have had this perspective that God is with everybody else and not with them, that they have been surrounded by spirituality, but they have not yet themselves come to believe. The question is, Are we like those religious leaders who have surrounded ourselves with spirituality in such a way that we have become numb to the relationship with Jesus that he so longs to have with all of us? This video will talk about the story, the whole story, from beginning to end, of the good news of Jesus Christ.
It began with darkness. Pitch black. Formless and empty. Into into this darkness, God created light. Created entire galaxies. Countless wonders beyond imagination. And to behold his glory, he breathed life into his children. He loved them with a passion burning brighter than the sun. And for a time, he made his dwelling with them in a beautiful, perfect world. But then, this love was torn apart, fractured by a crushing abyss so wide that it could never be crossed. An immense chasm created by our sin, our pride, our disobedience. And so, the darkness returned, and with it came death, wars, plagues, and exile. But our Father refused to leave his children in the darkness. So once again, he sent his light to dwell on earth, to become Emmanuel, God with us, to teach us, to heal us, and save us from the terrible wages of sin. But where he preached peace, he was met with hostility. Where he preached love, hatred burned against him. Where he preached forgiveness, his enemies cried out for execution. He was arrested, tortured, and sentenced to death as a criminal. With nails in his hands, Jesus bore the unfathomable weight of our sin and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. They assigned him a grave with the wicked and sealed his tomb with a stone. Darkness reigned over the land once more as hope seemed to vanish. But on the third day, his light pierced the shadows. His power shook the earth. The Son of God rose, declaring victory over death and throwing wide the gates of heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. His love still calls to us. His grace still covers us. This is the gospel. This is the good news of Christ.
So today I want you to know that it's no joke that Jesus loves you. It's no joke that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. It's no joke that a decision to follow Jesus' path rather than your own is the most important decision that you will ever, ever make. This morning I'm wondering if you will choose that or whether you will reject him. Today, if you wish to choose Jesus rather than a path that you have planned for your own life, to find your own way, then I invite you to pray a prayer with me that I'd like to show you before you pray it. That today you would know what it is that you are asking God. That you would open your heart to him and declare that today I choose Jesus. This is the prayer. It's on part two. It'll be a prayer that, if you wish to pray, I'll just read through this first, and then we'll pray together if you want to. Jesus, today I choose you. I know I've not been living that way, but no joke, Jesus. I choose you. I choose you today for the rest of my life. When you died on the cross in front of the world, you died for me and my sins too. Now I give you my life. Forgive me, please. I believe you came back to life. I believe you have a place in heaven for me. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to understand and follow your word, the Bible. My new life begins today, and I am excited. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. This morning, if God's been nudging you out of one group into the other, those who've denied really the truth about who God is, to a group who is declaring that Jesus' death and resurrection was for them, then I invite you now just to pray this with me. So if you just close your eyes, and you can pray this if you are feeling like today you wish to choose Jesus for the rest of your life, I invite you to pray this silently or aloud. I will give these words and you can repeat them. Jesus, today I choose you. I know I've not been living that way, but no joke, Jesus, I choose you. I choose you today for the rest of my life. When you died on the cross in front of the world, you died for me and my sins too. Now I give you my life. Forgive me, please. I believe you came back to life. I believe you have a place in heaven for me. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to understand and follow your word. My new life begins today, and I am excited. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Jesus, I thank you that even now you are calling. You're calling us away from foolishness into life. You're calling us away from our own path to yours. You're calling us from trying to find our own peace and joy and answers to your joy and your peace and answers. Some of us prayed a prayer perhaps similar to this many years ago, but our lives don't look anything like one who has chosen Jesus. We said Jesus, but we really meant, Jesus, you come my way. Today, some are feeling drawn to reaffirm what's in their heart that they haven't been living. And on this resurrection day, we pray for a resurrection and awakening within our hearts, that we would stop living like this all has been a joke when, in fact, it's no joke. So Jesus, we declare not just that you are alive, but you are making all things new. And today, we enter into that newness with you. And we are excited. we are anticipating what you have in store for us. In Jesus' name, amen. As the worship team sings a song for us and then invites us to join them, just allow those words to speak to you more. And if today you've made a decision of some kind, or you feel led that I need to be baptized. God is calling towards baptism. In the pews are these response cards, and you can fill out, today I made a decision for Jesus. Today I rededicated my life to him. Today I wish to be baptized. Today, whatever. You can fill one of those cards out any Sunday. You can put them in the box, in the foyer, in the offering plate, because it's no joke, but it's also no secret. And we should begin by telling people that he is alive in me.